This morning, as we're in that Christmas season now, this is one of those things that we want to be careful of, because sometimes we come in and we're involved in the praise music and we hear a great special and it reminds us of the things, and then when the pastor opens his Bible and he reads a verse that we've heard ever since we were kids, we flip the switch. And that's where sometimes, you know, I know I've done that, you know, oh, I know this and I'll go to study in something else. But then God has something for us in every time we come before Him. If you come desiring to hear from Him, I promise you, He promises you that you will have something that He will say to you. And so this morning as we open His Word, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1. And as we talk about that, we're going to start in 18. But 1 through 17 basically deals with the genealogy of Joseph. It goes 14 generations from Abraham to David, and then 14 generations from David to the captivity of Babylon, and then 14 generations from the captivity of Babylon to Christ. And so it kind of shows us the lineage that is there, and it sets up this passage of why Joseph is the fulfillment. Christ is the fulfillment through Joseph. And so let's start, if you'd read along with me, in verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you so much for the plan that you had in place before creation. We thank you for your sovereignty and understanding that, Lord, you are in charge of every little thing, and we thank you for that. Father, speak to each of us today as individuals. Tug at our hearts, encourage us, convict us, whatever it takes, Lord, to be in your presence and fully understanding what it is you have done for us and what you want for us. We thank you and we praise you for this opportunity, and may you be glorified in everything that is said. In your name we pray. Amen. Now we know that this story is the betrothal. It starts with Joseph and Mary. And in the New Testament times, you're probably familiar with this, but just in case somebody's not, the husband would go to the father of the bride-to-be, and he would make up an agreement, and that agreement was called a mohar. And he would pay money to the bride's father or the bride's family in case there was any type of financial loss when she was taken from their family. And so he would set up a contract basically and say, "Hey, I'm going to give you however many goats or camels or whatever for your daughter, and I will be back in 1 year and marry your daughter." And so he would go away and he would build on the place that they were going to stay, generally somewhere around his father's house, and he would be gone for a year. And then at the end, I love this because this would never work today, where he would grab some friends and they would go back and they would surprise the bride and say, "Hey, it's today." The bride would have no way of knowing what day that was going to be. Nowadays, it's the other way around. Man, the groom, he's just, "Hey, I'm just here. You tell me when I'm supposed to stand up there and how everything I'm supposed to do. I'll just wait on you to walk down that aisle and you take care of it all." And so it's kind of reversed. And man, there is a sermon in that I'm not going to get into, but you know, it's all about the bride today. We are the bride of Christ. And instead of it being about the groom that's coming, we make it about us. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Side sermon. No extra cost. Just throw that out there. But during that year, sometime is when we know that the angel came to Mary and she would conceive. And so also during that year, Joseph would have this time that he had already heard. You know, even though Mary had went to Elizabeth for 3 months, somehow he found out, hey, Mary is with child. And so he was thinking about, well, what should I do? What am I going to do? Because my bride-to-be is, she's been unfaithful. That's what he's thinking. But he loved her so much, and he was a just man, that he didn't want to put her through what society called for. Because what society called for is if a person was caught in adultery, which she would have been assumed that that was the case, she would have been publicly stoned. He loved her enough that he did not want that to happen, but he didn't want her to go through being that public example either. So he's thinking about this, and I'm sure his world is turned upside down. It's all been focused for close to a year about her, and now all of a sudden he finds out that she's with child, and he doesn't know what to do, and so he's thinking about it and thinking about it, and while he's thinking about it, this angel pops into one of his dreams. Man, right there, that changes a lot of your thinking right there, because he's thinking, what do I do? What do I do in this situation? What is the best thing to do in this situation? And all of a sudden, here is the angel of the Lord in his bedroom, wherever he's asleep. The angel of the Lord comes in, and he knows what he's thinking. Don't miss that, because that's very important. Joseph is thinking about what to do, and God already knows what he's thinking. God knows what you're thinking right now. Wish Brother Stephen, hurry up. Oh, I've heard this before. God knows what you're thinking. Here, God knew what Joseph was thinking. He knew what options that he had socially. And so he sends the angel of the Lord down. And in a dream, he says, Joseph, son of David. Now, we understand that. But if you go back into the lineage, back into starting at verse 14, Azer begot Zadok, and Zadok begot Achim, and Achim begot Eliud. I love these names. Eliud begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph. Normally, when they would say Joseph, they would have said Joseph, the son of Jacob. But they didn't. They said the angel said, Joseph, son of David. That had to have really caught Joseph's mind. Why are you calling me son of David? My dad's Jacob. But because he was a just man, he probably understood. He knew enough of the scripture that when you talk son of David, you're talking a special lineage. And this angel comes to him and he says, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Man, that's exactly what I was thinking. And he comes in and he calls me the son of David and he knows what I'm thinking. And then he's going to do something here that just would blow your mind. And I'm sure it had to have just literally blown David's mind. For what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. He's sitting here before the angel comes thinking about what he's going to do. Does he divorce her and put her away? Does he make a public example of her? What do I do? And then this angel pops in and says, no, go ahead and make her your wife. Okay, we're okay. Our mind is blown that the angel has showed up in our dream probably. But not only that, he goes a little farther and he says, the baby belongs to the Holy Spirit. It had to have just totally caught Joseph off kilter when he says that. And so once you wrap your mind around the fact that, one, he's called you the son of David. Two, he says, don't be afraid to marry Mary. I guess that's the way you say that. And then the big bombshell is the baby belongs to the Holy Spirit. It would take days to wrap your mind around that, I would think. But where I want to focus this morning is what takes place next. Man, verse 21 is one of, I think, one of the best verses in the Bible. And I want us to focus on just verse 21 for just a moment. It says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. Think about that for just a minute. She's going to bring forth a son. But wait, you said what's in her is of the Holy Spirit. So she has never been with a man. How's she going to have a baby? This baby is from God. She's going to bring forth a son. Now, there's a lot in that first passage, because if you go to Luke chapter 1, when the angel is talking to Zechariah about John the Baptist being born, he says, she is going to bear you a son. The angel tells Zechariah, she's going to bear you a son. It's going to be your son. Here, he says, and she will bring forth a son, or she will bear a son. It's not yours. It belongs to God. So many people nowadays, and I know this is one of those things for us as Christians and for people that have grown up in church, how do you take away the fact that it was a virgin birth? And who would try to do that? But there are people today that try to take away the fact that Mary was virgin. They say, oh, well, in the Old Testament, what they really meant in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it said it was a young woman. They had other terms for young woman. That's not the term that they used. People want to say, well, it meant that she was of marrying age. Well, it says in Isaiah that a sign would come to you that a virgin would bear a child. Well, if it was just a person, a young woman of marrying age that had a baby, what kind of sign would that be? But people yet today still want to take away the deity of Jesus Christ. And they want to say, well, the virgin birth really wasn't that important. Well, God obviously thought it was, because he told us about it years and years ago, as prophesied by Isaiah, that she's going to bear a son, and she will, and the word actually, let me get it right here, I don't want to mispronounce it, parthenos is the Greek word that means she had no sexual experience. It wasn't she was just of that age. She had no sexual experience. She was a virgin. This baby belonged to the Holy Spirit. This baby was the Son of God. God sent His Spirit, and the baby that was going to be born, that became flesh, was the Son of God. You can't take that away. But yet people today don't focus on that. They don't focus on the miracle of when God said, you know, I'm going to have to come down to them. When the God of this universe, the creator of this universe, came to become in fleshly form a baby, people want to ignore that. And the fact that God loved me so much that He sent His only begotten Son to be born as a baby so that I could come to know Him. Why would anybody want to not acknowledge that? But they do. They don't want to think about the fact that God loves them that much. Because then they feel obligated to love God back. But really what the angel is telling him here, He's telling Joseph in that first part of that verse, and everyone who reads this, he's telling us as well, that God was coming down to be a man. You can't take that away. You can ask why. You can say, I don't understand. He's God. He could have done something else. He did it because He loves you. He is God. And He came down as a lowly baby. The second part of this verse says, and you shall call His name Jesus. You, Joseph, because verses 1 through 17 tell us that you are the legal earthly father through the lineage. When you marry His mother, you are going to be the legal earthly father of Jesus. And the legal earthly father was the one that would name the child. So you are going to name this baby Jesus. So there's responsibility to put on Joseph. But you shall call His name Jesus. Well, back then, they would generally always pick somebody out of the family. Well, there's nobody in your family that has that name. But this wasn't just a name. He was more than the name. The name, translated, means Jehovah the Savior. You're not just giving Him a name. You're saying who He is. You're saying He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. All of that is wrapped up in the name of Jesus. The wonderful name of Jesus. There is no other name like it. You're not just going to tell everybody, this is my son Jesus. You're telling everybody, this is Jesus, the Savior Messiah, Jehovah God's Savior. That's who that child is. There's so much in acknowledging His name and calling Him Jesus. Joseph was telling the world, or the angel was telling Joseph to tell the world, this kid is not normal. He is the Savior of the world. He's going to change everything. He's come down to be born as a baby, and He is going to be the Savior of this world. Man. Joseph's mind's got to still be expanding if it hasn't already exploded. The last half of this verse, for He will save His people from their sins. So this angel said, your wife, that's a virgin, is going to bear a son. You're going to call Him the Savior of the world. And He is going to save His people from their sin. Joseph's thinking, I don't know what he's thinking. I'll just be honest with you. I don't know what he's thinking. But to understand and to wrap your mind around this, that one, it's God's Son. Two, you're going to call Him and acknowledge He is the Christ, the Messiah. And He is going to save His people from their sins. Now, Joseph probably had heard of the passages in the Old Testament where he knew that the Messiah was coming. So now it's got to be wrapping in his mind to understand that this child, the angel of the Lord, just told me to call Him the Messiah. Man, I know the Messiah is coming. And if he knew the verse in Isaiah 7:14 where it says that the virgin will bear a son, if he knew that, I can't imagine him even thinking that prior to this. If he realized and understood that this child was the Savior of the world, it probably had not come to him until this angel says he's the one that it's written about. He's the one that's going to save His people from their sins. And now we know that when the Messiah came, when Jesus was born, he came to save the Jewish people. But we also know that the Jewish people rejected him, and because of that, God extended grace to us as Gentiles to be able to accept that grace and to become his people. Now, we are not Jews, but we become his because we have accepted him as our Savior. He will save his people from their sins. He personally is going to do something, Joseph, to save his people. Well, obviously, if he's going to do something to save his people, then the people need saved. You know, a lot of those people back then didn't think they needed saved. Man, I'm trying to keep all the commandments. I'm doing everything. I'm better than this guy. At least I'm not like that poor tax collector over there. I'm pretty good because I keep the law. Most of the Jews thought that was the case. And so they rejected him. But the Bible tells us he is the only one. That name we talked about, there is no other name under heaven whereby you must be saved. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. He was the only way. He was the only Savior and the purpose for his birth. She will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The whole purpose of his coming is to save the people. It's not so we can celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Jesus. Joseph, hearing these things, obviously understood and believed, and I think that had to have been a miracle of God, with everything that we just talked about that he's going through. And all of a sudden, he's told something that is going to change not only his life, but the entire world. He's going to change the entire world with this birth of this Messiah child. But we know he understood because it says when he woke up, it tells us later, when he woke up, he did as the Lord had commanded him and took to him his wife. Which brings me now to really my main point. I mean, everything we've talked about is very important, and without it you have nothing. But understand this. Today and every day till the 25th of December, people are going to be celebrating Christmas. And a majority of them are not going to even understand what verse 21 is talking about. And if you don't understand verse 21, then how can you celebrate Christmas? There are people every day that are celebrating Christmas. And it has nothing to do with that Son of God. How is that possible? How is that possible that they could celebrate the reason he was born was so that they could be saved? But we're just going to use that as an opportunity to celebrate. How could a person celebrate Christmas when they don't know that Jesus is Jehovah God, is Jehovah the Savior of the world? And they never truly know what that name means. It's just, oh yeah, they see it on a shirt. Jesus is the reason for the season. Man, might as well write on there, John is the reason for the season. To most of them, as long as they get to celebrate. We need to, as Christians, understand that, yes, I love that saying and I love it on a shirt, and it is the reason. He is the reason for everything. But if I would live like it's truly in my heart, Jehovah the Savior is the reason for the season. I wonder if that would change people. If that would change their idea and their understanding. And then the last part of 21, they don't understand that. They don't understand that the purpose of the birth and their need for a Savior are tied together. Galatians 4:12 says, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son to be born of a virgin." At just the right time. And we could go into all the history of how the Greek language was finally covering all the known world at that time. And so everybody that could kind of understand that language, and so the gospel could go out to everybody. Everybody could understand it was a miraculous birth, did they? No. Everybody could understand that He was God in flesh, but did they? No. Everybody could understand that His sole purpose was to save them from their sins, but did they? No. Which brings me to my final point. If you and I as Christians truly understand and believe verse 21, then that should motivate you and me to live our lives in such a way that we see that it's God. And when people see us, they see that we see it as God that did this. 21 should motivate us. Because God came down in human form. We say it all the time, but wrap your mind around that. And the purpose was to save us from our sins. So many of us think we don't need saved from our sins. Even as Christians, We sometimes will leave sin in our life because it's not that big a deal anymore. Yes, it is. Sin is what nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. And if you ever say sin is not that big of a deal, you're saying it wasn't a very big deal that Jesus was nailed to the cross. We have to live and understand daily, verse 21. The purpose that He came was because we needed saved from our sins. And if I've got sin in my life on a daily basis, I need to confess it on a daily basis. I don't just go to church once a week and ask God to forgive me. My relationship with Him is every day. If I wrong my wife in any way, I'm not going to wait a week to apologize. I like to eat. But that's how we treat God. We let it all pile up until we think somebody's going to see it. And then when we think somebody's going to see it, then we'll take it to God. And then if somebody says something, yeah, I've already taken that to God. And if you're sitting here today or listening on Facebook, and you've never truly understood what verse 21 says, what better way to celebrate Christmas than to understand verse 21 and to let it change your life, to acknowledge the fact of who God is, what He's done, and He did it for you. That should change every one of us. We should be, if we're not Christians, that should convict us out of the love He has for us to turn to Him and ask for forgiveness. As a Christian, if I'm complacent, it should motivate me to be what God wants me to be. And if I'm on fire for God, I'm still not good enough. I am not good enough that the Son of God came to be a baby in flesh because you're still not good enough. Verse 21 should change every day of our lives. But we'll save it till next Christmas before we pull it out again. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. God, how could You love us? But I know You do. And I thank You and I praise You. Lord, move among us. Convict us, encourage us, motivate us, do whatever each person needs. Lord, may we glorify and honor You with this time. In Your precious name I pray. Amen.